I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello, hello. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sam.
We are licensed therapists, and you are listening to
Nuance Needed,
the podcast. This is our first episode.
Woo! Snaps, everyone. We're very happy to be here.
We're very happy to be here. And we're going to go into today how this podcast came to be, why we started it, what you can expect, all those details.
Yeah, all of it. In the words of Taylor, which if you listen to this podcast, you are probably going to hear a lot of references to Taylor. So brace yourself, as we are both Swifties for starters. But in the words of Taylor, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Well, I mean, so Sam and I work together. We've been working together for a while at Therapy for Women. If you've listened to my other podcasts, you know that last year I started and stopped multiple podcasts. I had one by myself. I had Sam on multiple times, and we just like realized we had such good chemistry, and I used to spend like 10 hours editing and recording by myself, and I was like, this is unsustainable.
She needed a buddy.
Yeah.
And I like to talk. So on Instagram and TikTok, my handle is Sam the Therapist. So if you follow, I'm the person with the big red curly hair. It's the signature. I like to talk a lot. All my content is video. Like I don't bother with Canva. I know I probably should. Marketing people have told me I should, but
I don't know. I think everyone's like video is the future
now.
Yes,
it is. So I take pride in that, but
yeah.
So it felt very simpatico for us to embark on a podcast together.
We also are both on social media, chronically online social media people.
It's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, and we love pop culture. So we already sort of naturally texted about pop culture a lot and also have talked a lot about our frustration with social media, especially because we're on social media a lot and how we feel like things have just – I don't know. The other day I saw this thing that said late stage social media and I was like, oh my goodness, that might be where we are.
Yeah, that's a heavy.
Yeah, sorry to break down the mood.
We're going right in, guys.
But like we talk a lot about just our frustrations with how clickbaity the internet is.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it is what it is, but I think it becomes more frustrating with then you see how clickbaity it is with social media or with mental health content specifically, and then we see how it negatively impacts the clients that we work with.
Well, and I think one of my things too is, and I've said this before, we all of a sudden like threw all of this like mental health therapy speak at people. And we gave them no context for what it is or why it is or what it means. And so then everybody just ran wild with it all because it did resonate and it did make sense in some situations. And I think something that we've both chatted about that we've seen is how people have like run wild with that, with this, with mental health content. I think the mental health trend, for lack of a better term.
No, mental health is it's
trendy.
Which is good and bad, I think.
Yes.
And that's the hard part. And that's why the podcast is called Nuance Needed.
Yes.
We love nuance because a lot of times there are good and bad things to everything. And I think with the pandemic, we really saw like it was good that mental health became trendy in that people got mental health treatment. Like accessibility increased. We were reducing stigma. People were talking about going to therapy. It became almost cool to see a therapist, which is great, but it also has created this shift in influencers and bachelorette contestants telling people how to diagnose themselves with ADHD, why their parent is a narcissist, and more that that then we as therapists see the very real consequences of. We've both talked a lot about how it's really strange to see how being a therapist has shifted a bunch from educating people about new concepts to combating disinformation on concepts they people think they know now because of social media.
Right.
Which is wild.
Well, it's absolutely wild. And I think it puts so – all of this stuff is so important, just like you were saying, but it's also really heavy. Mm. Mental health is heavy. It is a heavy thing to acknowledge. And I think there was – so much stigma for so long that kind of painted it as like to have mental health meant like you were diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Like that was the extreme with which we used to operate from with it.
Yes.
So it's great that there's an understanding that it is not that. It is in fact a very vast spectrum.
Yeah.
Yet now everything has become some part of mental health, right? Like day to day is triggering. Little things are triggering. So many interactions are triggering. It's like, I'm too anxious. I can't this. I can't that. I can't possibly be, you know, held to account for that because I struggle with this. And it's just so messy. And so many people get lost in that mess and the heaviness of it and trying to sort through, but they don't have the tools to sort through because we didn't tell them. Mm-hmm. We just like projected a bunch of information, which I take like ownership for as a therapist in the mental health content space. 100%. I used to very much be that information heavy. And for me, the reason why my content shifted more to video is because I wanted to be able to speak more to nuance.
Yeah. Which is much easier to do. Yeah. When you're talking, which I think is also why we really like podcasting.
Yes. Yes.
Because you can't super easily splice up what we're saying.
Right.
And we can talk through things as we're sort of, you know, we're going to, a lot of this podcast is going to be us wading in the nuance, sometimes even figuring out in real time.
Right.
How we feel about certain things.
And like changing our mind about things and kind of being like, oh, like I hadn't thought about that that way before.
Yeah.
And I think to model that that is how the process is supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's why therapy does take time
to
really work and hash through, because you're unwinding so many belief systems and cultures and trauma and, you know, perspectives and like all of this. And so it takes time, and that's a messy process.
Yeah.
And I think part of what we wanted this podcast to be is normalizing the messiness of it, that it's not always clear and it very often won't be clear. And in a lot of situations, you don't want it to be clear.
Right. Yeah. Because we should change our minds when we get new information. Yes. We should shift our opinion when we learn new things, when we hear different perspectives, right? It's like, you know, strong opinions loosely held. Like we should, I love Adam Grant's, who I'm sure a lot of you all follow on Instagram and maybe his books and stuff like that. He's great. But he talks a lot about this, and he does a really good job, I think, of kind of explaining how in the age of social media sometimes too, we've almost become our beliefs instead of having beliefs or having ideas. We get like fused and stuck, and it's why it's really hard for us to have conversations with people we don't like, people we disagree with, because it feels like it's in a personal attack. Rather than an attack or a disagreement on our beliefs and the importance of sort of separating ourselves from that. And of course, algorithms really enhance this more as we are able to essentially curate our own echo chambers.
Yeah, our own
and
reality.
It's hard because I think all, and we talk, I think all the time is, you know, we just, Sam and I text each other sometimes and we're like, is this really what's going on the internet? Or is this just therapy, our therapy internet? Like, I don't know. And it's hard to tell sometimes because of the algorithms, which is scary, and their negative, you know, impacts to that.
Well, and like the 3-second soundbite.
Yes.
Right? Like trying to condense very complex thoughts into 2 to 3 second clips. And it's like, it's exhausting. Even like from the content creator perspective, that's part of why I gave up on short form content and went more long form, was because it's too hard. And then there were moments where I was starting to feel like I can come up with the controversial things that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's easy. That's the sad part. It's easy.
Yeah. To come up with like the controversial black and white, mm-hmm. right or wrong, you're mm-hmm. good, I'm bad, or, you know, I'm right, you're wrong, whatever you want to put to it. It's so easy to come up with that. And I started realizing how easy it felt to fall into that mm-hmm. pattern.
Yeah.
And I had to like pull myself back from the cliff, because it's like you start getting the comments that are like, oh my God, yes. Like, you know, the million views, the, mm-hmm. you know, 100,000 likes, like that. You're only human.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of like I had to ask myself, like, at what cost, mm-hmm. you know? And then the conversations that we had about it, we just realized like there really isn't a space to be able to moderate some of these concepts and ideas.
Yeah.
And really make sense of them, and to realize that a lot of the things that people have become really like stressed over, mm-hmm. like I think the idea of triggers.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do a whole episode
on Don't triggers. You worry. We got a long list of episode options. But yeah, just as an example of things that people are feeling like really scared of and intimidated by and overwhelmed with, and it becomes so confusing. And so we just wanted to like create a space where we could not only navigate that professionally for you, mm-hmm. but to even like model it ourselves mm-hmm. as we chat about things.
Yeah. As we're talking about our values and things that we are going to outline in the show, like our promise to you is we won't be perfect. We will probably say things you disagree with, or maybe we even change our minds on.
Yep.
But we're hoping that by being really clear about like our values are breaking down disinformation, mm-hmm. doing the best we can, we will admit when we're wrong and we mess up, that through our commitment to do better and model this, we hope that you extend the same grace to ourselves and that you can extend that grace to yourself as well. But what I was thinking too, Sam, was I think the other thing we're circling around is the fact that through mental health content, regular human beingness has become pathologized and feeling worried is now, right, a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. And we've lost sort of our parameters or barriers for what is the difference between a mm-hmm. mental health problem mm-hmm. and what is just
day-to-day
the difficulty of being a human being, because being a human being is also really hard, and that is not something that we can cure.
No. And I tell a lot of my clients that, and I've said this in a lot of my content too, like mm-hmm. if it's messy, you're probably doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is deeply frustrating to the anxious oldest daughters that I work with. And that's okay, because I've worked
on that
too.
We're also both oldest daughters.
So. Anxious oldest daughters.
You're in good company.
So welcome. We're going to have jackets soon. Don't worry.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like I really, in my work with people, I really try to normalize that. Well, and to make it like even more specific, like when we're talking about anxiety.
Yeah.
I always like to remind them anxiety at its baseline is a survival mechanism in our brain. Mm-hmm. Like anxiety is the thing that makes you remember to pay that bill mm-hmm. or remember to get that assignment done or remember that you have that appointment.
Yeah. No, like it's also if we bring it all the way back to like evolution, right? It like kept you alive and made you run away from the lion. And it was our ancestors who were careful and cautious. Were the ones who survived, because you weren't that, like, in terms of life or death evolution, you weren't that negatively penalized for suffering. Like, it's better for your genes to be alive and be miserable than to be dead and happy. We're all descended from potentially anxious, unhappy people.
Ancestors.
Yeah. But they also had to take, you know, there's also – not to go down a whole rabbit hole, like also some people, we had to, you know, high risk, high reward. So that's where some of it balances out. But I agree. Right. And anxiety, right, feeling anxious does not equate to having an anxiety disorder.
Correct. And yeah, to like wrap up my thought from earlier is once we kind of go through, I literally give them the ancestors explanation. So, but yeah, then I remind them like the issue becomes I cannot sleep at night because I'm thinking so much.
Yes.
I cannot, like, I'm closing myself off from interactions with other people because it's too overwhelming.
Yes.
I quit my job out of nowhere because I got super overwhelmed and didn't know what to do, right? Like, when it starts to directly impact your ability to baseline function, that's when we are concerned. Simply having, like, even a day where you are more anxious, like, if you are a woman who is still in a phase where she has periods,
yes,
forget about it. Like, even mine is starting any day now. And 4 days ago, I was sitting on the couch and I was like, I'm such a bad therapist. Like, I
need to take another training.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we all do. We did so many trainings. Oh my God. I need to read another book.
Yep. I'm like, maybe I need to redo that book on trauma. I don't think I talked to her about it well. And then the next day you're like, oh, that's right. But that doesn't mean that I now need like a medication or like I need to be in consistent CBT therapy. Like, and again, that is nuance.
Yes.
And that is what is so often missing is you just see like the symptom bullet points on TikTok. And then you're like, oh, that's it. That's me. And we want to disprove that.
Yeah, because there is a lot of, there's a lot of details in a diagnosis as well. It is not just meeting these symptoms. It depends on how long, the duration, other symptoms, other things in your life. Like, it is a lot more complicated than just symptoms. And this is not related to therapy, but I, for example, like my daughter, we started speech therapy with her and I was trying to like diagnose her, right? Like on the internet and following speech therapists and they were all wonderful and great. But I was so glad that I actually had a speech therapist come because the speech therapist was able to give her an assessment.
Yes.
That impacted whether certain of those things mattered. And I was just like, so in the experience of being reminded that context matters, the person matters. An evaluation and assessment of that person matters. And that's what you're getting in therapy because you're having someone who can hear your whole story, hear all the things you're going through and and see, you know, the white space between the list of symptoms. And it it matters. My daughter, like, I mean, no shade to if anyone needs, you know, she may need to see a speech language pathologist in the future, but it was so relieving to just, you know, the nuance, for example, there is I thought that, you know, as a 15-month-old, she should be able to, I didn't know what counted as a word.
Right.
I thought that she had to say the word bird for bird to be counted. But if she says buh, that counts. Her. And who would have, I was like, that's not a word. Enunciate.
Bird. And that is why, like, we tell people to go to therapy. It's it's not a self-serving thing. It's so that you can go obtain that nuance for yourself and be like, is this really something I need to be genuinely concerned about? Like, you know, legitimately, you know, kind of fretting over, or is it more just me and my insecurities perseverating on this issue or what I perceive to be an issue, right? Yeah. And like for your own sake, like you deserve to have that sussed out. For yourself.
Totally.
Like you deserve to have that peace of mind, like the peace of mind it gave you for Peyton to be able to be like, oh, like it's okay.
Yeah.
We're okay.
Yeah. Or like the exercises that the things she does need to work on versus me doing everything under the sun and probably overwhelming her by yelling bird in her face.
Make me feel better. Say bird. Soothe me.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, and we're so excited. We have a bunch of episodes coming up. Yes. We have one literally on sort of like coaching versus therapy that we go into this in even more details. And if you all ever have ideas.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram.
We also did, we did a whole ep on boundaries.
Yes. We're going to break down all of the terms that we see in therapy speak misused.
And we will like. About. Also kind of circling back like all the way to the beginning when we talked about pop culture.
Yes.
We will chat about that as well.
Yeah, because I think pop culture is really intertwined with internet culture. I mean, we saw that with like Brat Summer, right? Like, I mean, when you're seeing Jake Tepper on CNN talking about I aspire to be a brat, I don't know how that's not just pop culture. That is permeating That's permeating beyond internet culture. That is just culture.
Right. But then slipped right into demure.
Yes, that's true. Just, yeah.
The change happens fast, kids.
I mean, I have to say I really enjoyed the demure. I think too. We've overcorrected a little bit with, which, you know, no means no. to maybe we should be a little mindful, a little demure. Conscientious. I think it's a nice change of pace from you can do whatever you want and you can know as a complete sentence and all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, I identified with demure. Mm-hmm. Much more than I did Brat Summer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't drink. I'm sober. So like, I'm not like sloppy insane. In a club. I mean, we're in our mid-30s.
Yeah, we're both sober. So like, our bad.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. Real quick, I wanted to share about my practice, Therapy for Women Center. We have therapists licensed in 43 states across the country. This is also where Sam works. If you're interested in getting on her wait list or mine, we would love to work with you. And if not, like I said, we have a lot of other therapists who can help you. If you live in the Philadelphia area, we also have 3 office locations there. I would love for you to learn more by going to our website, therapyforwomencenter.com. Okay, should we get into your background and all of that?
Yeah, so I grew up in New York State, and I will still claim that for the rest of forever, that I am from New York. So I've lived in the Salt Lake City area for like 14 years. Mm-hmm. Too long, but I'm moving, guys. I'm moving to Florida.
And she's moving to Florida, even though literally a week ago on her Instagram, she posted, I love the clouds. And I was like, girl, you are moving to the Sunshine State.
Listen, I know I'm hurting my own feelings. We had this conversation, but you know, you're there. My sister.
Can enjoy. I mean, I guess the summer is cloudier. It's cloudy today, so. If you like thunder and lightning,
yes,
it's see, a great place for you.
She's a thunderstorm girly. Like when I, so friends, I was out to visit a couple weeks ago mm-hmm. and I like found my place to live and all that. And there was like this thunderstorm that blew through and I was mm-hmm. like, this is heaven. Like the louder,
the only
better.
Person.
I love it. Like
it's like the lightning thing. Capital of the world. I'm convinced.
Oh man, don't tell me that. Like I'll just sit outside all day with a metal pole. Like what? Like
near love, all the water.
Near the water. Yeah. No, I love weather. Like I love snow. I love rain. I know I am moving to Florida. Do not DM me and be like, it doesn't snow in Florida. I know that, but it's just, I just need to be back out east.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
And you're moving with your sister, which is going to be
great. I am. Yeah, my sister is a professional golfer.
Yeah. And she'll probably be on this podcast at some point. She'll probably be a friend of the pod.
She will be an absolute friend of the pod. Yeah. So I was raised in the Mormon religion, still in my like deconstruction era.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever going to go away. So yeah, I've always been sober.
Have you ever drank alcohol ever?
No.
Wow, I did not know this about you. Like, I knew you didn't drink very much at all. I didn't know you'd, like, never had. Mm-mm. And you've never been curious? Like, as an addict, that is, like, mind-boggling.
So my addiction was pleasing authority figures.
Yeah.
And so by time I got to, the place where I really started to deconstruct, I was in my late 20s. And by then, my frontal lobe had developed.
Yeah.
So, like, I would kind of think about it and be like, no. Actually, no. Lie. I did have beer once. Mm. I was 6. There's nuance to this story, everyone. We lived in a cul-de-sac at the time, and it was like a house like in the back, and they had like all these tables and stuff. And of course, all the drinks were in red Solo cups. Mm. And I thought I had grabbed mine off the table, and I just like threw back what had to have been like a Coors or a Bud Light, because I was like, I think I just drank straight pee. Does like it's pee. Like even nowadays, like I can like remember the taste of it, even though it's never been confirmed. Mm-hmm. Everybody there like it was a block party and all the adults were like drinking something. So, but that's been my only time.
Like we're going to have to do an episode on that. Cause that is just so fascinating to me that you never wanted to later or anything like that.
A lot of my friends did. I've heard stories of their escapades. I've been around my friends who have been like smashed, right? So like I know of the world, but I've never, no.
So interesting. Okay, even with your desire to people please, did that translate to a desire to fit in, to be like other people who were drinking? Or was it so, since you lived in, you went to school in, you know, Utah and you've lived there for so long, it is just like normal that people don't drink?
Yeah, like the...
So you fit in by sort of not drinking.
Yes, yes. The, I think if I hadn't gone to school in Utah... I'm willing to bet it probably would have happened at some point, kind of, if I look back on where I was at in my 20s. But just here, nobody does it. Like, it's not a thing. And so, it just kind of ended up being this thing of like, oh yeah, I don't drink. Like, I don't do that. And now it's kind of like a badge of honor. So why?
Oh, I get that. I've never smoked a cigarette and I will carry that to my grave. And yeah, if you know me, you know, like I was, you know, I had a lot of problems with drinking. I drank so much, but I never, at least that I know of, even though I blacked out a lot, smoked a cigarette because it became my, I always won never have I ever with it. So it became my like badge of honor that I was like, I will carry this through my
That's
life.
That's my red line.
But I was very close to, because I got sober in AA and everyone smokes cigarettes in AA. A lot of my best friends smoke cigarettes. A lot of people start smoking cigarettes when you go to AA because it is the cool thing. It's literally how you make friends.
Right.
So I was very close multiple times, but I was sober by that point. So I was like, what are you, Amanda? You're going to really start smoking cigarettes, give yourself a new addiction, and then have to kick that later. That's
No.
At least I had a little bit of smarts to be like, that's dumb. So I would just sit outside and inhale all of the secondhand smoke.
No, we'll
see. No, guys, it's cool. I don't care at all. Yeah, blow it in my face.
I'm fine. Like, do you like me?
Exactly. I got sober when I was 24.
Oh, whoa. Wow. Well, I think the other thing, so like, because I started, so I worked in an emergency room for 5.5 years. I worked at a trauma one emergency room. Which, to put very bluntly, that's where all the people go to die. So that was my job. And, but in addition to like the death and dying component, I also did like a tremendous amount of substance use.
Yeah.
And hearing some of these stories, I was like, I'm okay. I'll stick
like this isn't worth the risk.
But as a side note, I've always been like super impressed with your sobriety journey.
Oh, I don't think
I've ever said that. Yeah.
Thanks.
Everyone. Snaps for Amanda. Big deal.
Yeah, I'm going to be sober in a couple weeks. It's going to be 10 years, which is pretty crazy.
Oh my God. We need to throw you a party.
So it's been 10 years. I mean, it's a weird thing where you like, in the beginning, you're like, I never imagined I would do this. And to be honest, my eating disorder always felt way harder because you have to eat every day. So there was a lot more just gray area in figuring out what recovery and sobriety looked like to me. And we can definitely do an episode on it. But where at least – and that's kind of been my lifeline in a weird way of I always kind of think about how getting sober – I don't know whether I'm an alcoholic. I don't know whether – like sometimes I'm like, maybe I could have tried. Maybe I could drink normally. But it has been this foundation that I've built my life. And especially I know the most important thing that I can hold on to even when I have like – because you do live in a body, right, your whole life. I was pregnant last year. Like your body changes. You're going to have triggering moments. You're going to have moments where you ate too much, where you don't feel good about yourself.
Right.
And to always go back to knowing that I kind of had – being alcohol-free and sober to stand on has been so key to staying in recovery in my eating disorder. Because if I wouldn't have had that, I think I would then drink. And then I could – so – like how I actually got sober was because I was very severely bulimic. And at my worst, I would like binge and purge like 10 times a day, especially in college and stuff like that. It was very much like when I started getting sober or I started this recovery journey, I very much sort of related to addicts almost even more because I was like, this is an addiction. I would I got into multiple car accidents without any substances in my body, but I was high, like either going to get food, leaving to go throw up. Ooh. Like I totaled two cars doing it. I mean, I would do Adderall, which definitely didn't help. So one could argue that was a substance in my body, even though I was prescribed it. So I very much related to like the addiction nature of it, but I really didn't love drinking in the same way. But I found out pretty quickly as I was trying to get into recovery from my eating disorder how easily the drinking led to like slipping in my eating disorder. And me, you know, I was trying to rebuild my life. I graduated college. I had no friends. Everyone hated me. Like the most clear example of this is we were at Beach Week and I was in a room by myself with two double beds because no one wanted to share a room with me, where there were five girls in a room, you know.
Oh my God.
With like twin, you know, with like two twin beds that they were all sort of cramming into. And yeah, so I mean, I worked at a frozen yogurt shop when I graduated. I worked at Red Mango because I couldn't get a job and I was too scared to get one.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, and so thankfully I had like an amazing therapist who I rebuilt my life with. And one of the big things too that we kind of discovered was, how do you build a life that you don't want to escape from? How do you build a life that's in alignment with your values?
Ooh.
And how can I do that if when I go drink, I do things that I would never do? I'm a terrible friend and I'm totally out of alignment with my values. And I slowly realized that it wasn't sustainable to keep doing that. Yeah, and that's how – then I realized I wanted to be a therapist, and it started all of that. And thankfully, I had friends who got sober with me, which really, really is
that makes
so important, because I was like, how am I going to ever get married and ever make friends if I'm sober? So here we are.
Well, first of all, to tackle both addictions at the same time, I mean, that is like monumental. Most people, it has to be like done incrementally because it's so hard to give up that coping skill and also like the ritualistic behavior of it, the predictability of it, the certainty of it, the control of it. Like that's huge. And interesting that you kind of touched on like the shame piece a little bit too, especially like talking about like the idea of like smoking cigarettes in AA. Like I know there's been times in my life where I've been like with a group of people and they're talking about like drinking stories and I'll be like, oh yeah. Like, oh my God. That's so wild. Like, oh my God. I remember that. It was like, you know, and it's interesting how on both ends, like you want to fit in, even though your life is your life. And at the end of the day, I didn't all of a sudden want to like go off and get obliterated in Vegas, but you kind of feel like you have to, depending on the group that you're in.
I think there's something also, I could be wrong, but in my very, I don't know, limited studies of this, I just feel like millennials too, like we were just raised, like because of the way that we were raised and the values of millennials growing up compared to, it seems like Gen Z was really raised with this idea of like, be unique, have your own brand, like stand out, where we were all wearing rolled over Sophies and like, you know.
We're so unique.
Right, shopping at Limited 2 in sixth grade and all of that stuff. Wanting to wear the same thing. Like I think that's really interesting too, where I don't know enough. I don't have enough, like I'm not really close friends with any Gen Zers to really talk to them about it firsthand. You can let us know if you disagree, but it just feels like there was a millennial, like peak fitting in, peaked with millennials sort of. Yes. And I think that's such a good example, Sam, of it's like you are with certain people who don't drink and you don't want to drink. And then you're with certain people who do drink and you want to act like you're crazy. You know, you do drink with them and then you're with someone else who drinks the right amount and then you want to be that way. And it's just – it's exhausting to constantly have to be a chameleon. And
yes,
when your value is you must be the same, you inherently have no values then, because it depends who you're with.
It depends on – the situation, but also like speaking to that as well, we were also told to be different.
Mm-hmm.
But then everything was about being the same and assimilating. And so it's like this very like black and white mm-hmm. competing like identity crisis of like, but I am different over here, but I'm supposed to be like this. And like for me, part of being, I've been sober my whole life
mm-hmm.
was just like accepting that that's
yeah
part of me and kind of no longer feeling like I have to pretend. But yeah, it's, and also like I'm 9 times out of 10 met with like never. And mm-hmm. I'm like never intentionally outside yeah. of 6-year-old Sam grabbing a solo cup, which I don't think that counts, but.
It doesn't, no. Well, thank you all for hanging out with us. This was yeah. fun. Thanks for this listening to fun. Our first episode.
We did it.
We did
number
it.
One. Done.
Well, we will be back with more. We're so excited to continue on this podcast and connect yes. with you.
Please, if you have any like ideas or questions, episode concepts that you'd like us to talk about, please reach out to us, DM us, email us, whatever. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you want us to chat about.
Yeah, all of that is in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And if you like this podcast, we would love it if you would rate, review, share so we can reach more people.
And subscribe.
Yes, please.
You're the best.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.